Hey, everybody, on this episode of Sappy Chance Wrestling, guys, we have title changes galore, releases galore, some people have met their dynasties, all this and so much more on this episode of Sappy Chance. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Sap and Chance Wrestling. I am your host, Bobby Sampson. My man with the master plan joins me, Mr. Chance Michaels, Kid Rock in full effect. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Not bad, man. You shared me that video yesterday of how Kid Rock and JC met. Didn't know how they met. That was a good little post there, man.
Well, the main thing of that video was I didn't know he was in WWF for a little bit. Came out there a little bit with the Oddities or whatever it was there, I think it was.
Yeah. He did that for a little bit, but yeah, I knew about that. I just didn't know that.
I didn't know
they
that.
Connected. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know Josie was in WWF. So
it's one of those rare facts. But hey, man, since we last met, we've had a lot of things go down: releases, title changes. Oh man, so much. What should we do first? Should we talk about AEW and Dynasty?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, man. All right. So AEW had their pay-per-view this weekend, Dynasty, as per their normalcy. This thing went over 4 hours.
If you
take in the pre-show as well, where they had a couple of matches there as well. I don't know, man. Four and a half, 5 hours, 6 hours almost, man.
How can they expect anybody to give almost half of a day to watch that? Unless it's one of your main, like, you're not even WWE does it, only on WrestleMania. Besides that, they're about 3 hours or 2.5, 6 hours. It's outrageous. Outrageous.
And they had 3 hours on Saturday. So they had a special collision and a rampage that aired back to back on Saturday night as well. So, I mean, in total, you're thinking about close to 8.5, 9 hours of wrestling in 2 days.
It's too much. We think about WrestleMania, and that's the biggest, grandest stage in the mall, but this is Dynasty, so nobody's going to dedicate that much time to wrestling. It's too much.
And you know what? There's a handful of people out there.
There's a few people that do, but I mean, it's too much.
There's enough people who do it that they keep doing it. If people were into it as much as that, then, you know, maybe they put a kibosh on it. But I mean, the one thing they do really well is the show's flow. There's not so much of the backstage segment.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? You almost feel like, back in the day, if you thought about it, pay-per-views back in the day were like that, right? These were the closure shows.
Yeah.
Before the new story started. And you really didn't get too much of the backstage stuff. But yeah, no, it was a lot though. But why don't we get into the card a little bit? Overall, what did you think of the card?
It was all right. I mean, there's some good matches. It wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, honestly, I was happy when it was over because it's just too much. You know, you don't need a four-hour show all the time. Because when you have it, it's not special anymore. When WrestleMania does it, it's special, right? Most of their shows are 2.5, 3 hours. But all the time, 4 hours, I thought it's too long. But I thought it was a decent show. Some good matches.
Yeah, so the show starts off with Okada versus the Bastard Pack for the Intercontinental, or whatever they call it, the Continental Championship, sorry. Solid match. I mean, it was a kind of a match that I thought you would expect Okada to have, since that's his first big match since coming over to America. These guys put on some great moves, some really good back and forth chain wrestling. But overall, like I said, I mean, it was what it was supposed to be. I had no issues with it, but I mean, yeah.
The only thing with Okada, he's definitely not the Okada before. He's definitely slowing down a little bit. Well, I mean, you can't blame the guy for what he's put his body through. He's getting older, right?
Well, I mean, that's why he's here.
Mm.
He's no longer in the main picture of New Japan, where he was a stale, like, you know, a staple for so long. It's almost kind of the equivalent of past their prime stars going over to Japan.
Yeah, you know? I get it. Yeah.
And vice versa, right? It's kind of like Japan got the best of Okada, we're getting the rest of Okada.
Absolutely.
I was interested in this match a little bit. You had basically the House of Black, Buddy Matthews, Rhea Ripley's fiance, Brody King, who I really like, and I don't know why WWF never picked up on this guy, and TNA champion, and Malakai Black.
Malakai's a good talent too.
He's a good talent. I mean, he's one guy I still say they made a mistake releasing, personally.
I thought so too. Yeah, he was good.
He had potential. He's doing really well over there. Buddy Matthews as well. I think just his physique alone should give him access back to the Fed, in my opinion. But they're going up against Adam Copeland, aka Edge, your buddy. What's his name again? Sorry, pardon me. Eddie Kingston and the Ring of Honor World Champion Mark Briscoe, six-man tag. Again, this could have been on TV, in my opinion.
Thanks for bringing this up. There's too many belts in AEW. You don't need to have the Ring of Honor champion, the IWGP champion, TNT champion. It's just too many belts.
But to keep in mind, they only bring them out here on these pay-per-views for otherwise, because, I mean, they own Ring of Honor, right?
They I get why they do it, but...
I get it. But none of these titles were on the line. Pretty good match. Pretty straightforward. I had no issues with it at all. Okay for where it was on the pay-per-view. Finish coming at the end when Edge is going for a spear, but stopped in the tracks and get the black mist in the face. Gets the pin. Aleister Black or Malakai Black. And those guys kind of move on. I have no problem with this. I mean, if Edge is going to be
there. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. If Edge is going to be there, if he's going to be in these positions, I like what he's doing. He's putting over the younger guys, giving them the shine. He doesn't need it anymore. I mean, I was looking at Edge and I was looking at Daniel Bryan during the show. And honestly, I'll be honest, man. I feel like they just look so old, but they're not.
Well, Edge is what, 48, 49?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm the same age, but my face isn't sunken in, and I don't look bulimic.
Well, yeah, but they're tanning all the time.
Yeah, but it's just that wear and tear, man. It just they look well past their prime, and considering how much time those two both had away from the ring to recover,
And well, they're saying Daniel Bryan's going to call it a day pretty soon here too.
Well, I mean, let's see. I mean, we'll find out more as we go along here. Okay, so we go straight into Willow Nightingale fighting Julia Hart for the TBS Women's Championship. Shortest match on the card. 6 minutes. Willow wins it. This brings out...
I'm surprised because usually AEW matches go a lot longer than that. So I'm surprised. I wanted
to talk about this a little bit only for the fact of this. So Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks, comes out. And Willow Nightingale was the one that injured her recently and put her on the shelf for that almost a year in a fight that they had in Japan. So that kind of builds up that story there. But here's the thing. Now, we're talking about the women's division AEW. They just spent an astronomical amount of money on Sasha Banks to come there.
And I don't understand why. She was never a big draw in WWE. So why are you spending all this money thinking she'd be a big draw? What's they call her? Mercedes Moné?
Mercedes Moné, yeah.
Sounds like a stripper's name.
Well, I mean, her real name is Mercedes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Moni. Yeah. I get it.
Stripper's name to me.
I get it, but
it's not. She's not been paying off of what they've been paying her.
Well,
I look giving at, more ratings or anything.
I look at it from this perspective. I don't understand why they're keeping like the women's division still tucked down like this, especially on this opportunity. Considering the fact they spent so much money on her, you'd think they'd be elevating the division, trying to push it more. Maybe they will. I don't know. I didn't see it from here though. It just kind of came out of didn't make
sense. I will say one thing. I didn't say the Okada match. I do like Pac. What was he called in WWF?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't remember his name anymore because
you know, he's built.
The bastard
strong. Pac. He's fast. He's intense.
Yeah.
Pac was definitely good. One of my two or three favorite wrestlers in AEW. That's why I like his style.
Yeah. You check out Buddy Murphy, man. I mean, he's got everything he's looking for. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. This is Kyle O'Reilly making his return after his neck injury, not knowing if he was ever going to return back to the ring. You think he'd be a part of that fold and that crew, but I guess he went a separate way. Don't know much about the storyline here, to be completely honest.
There is no storyline. Just threw it together. I will say one thing. Kyle O'Reilly, he does some unique moves in there with his kicking, and he's trying to do like kind of like an almost like a Daniel Bryan kind of thing, smaller guy, lots of submissions, doing a strong style. People don't realize Kyle O'Reilly's type 1 diabetic. So he's taking three insulins a day, and that takes a lot out of you. So he doesn't recover as quick if he gets cut. His wounds don't heal like ours would. And you know, he's a good wrestler. It was a good match. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching him here in Vancouver. I mean, he's a Delta guy, right? So, I mean, let's not forget that. The guy's from our hometown, British Columbia. So, I mean, you know, it's good to see him up there doing his thing. But, you know, when they walked away from WWE, they weren't released. They left. Their contract expired. They should have stayed there. They would have had, better health care.
Like that. He's kind of like a Daniel Bryan. He tries unique moves, and I like his submission stuff. I mean, he's crisp in the ring.
Yeah.
It was a solid match.
Yeah. So after the match, Undisputed Kingdom comes out. Adam Cole's in the wheelchair, gets out of it, so I guess he doesn't need it anymore. They come down to the ring. But what I forgot to mention was that Wardlow came down during the match to help out Roderick, but I guess it went backwards or something. Roderick still won, but his help wasn't, you know, wasn't necessary. That brings out Adam Cole glaring at him. So there's something brewing there. We're going to see some kind of, you know, discombobulation of some sort happening at some point down the road. I just wanted to throw that out there. Jericho versus Hook for the FTW World Championship, which is Taz's championship.
What belt is that?
Taz's. So when Taz used to run around with that when he was competing, and then when he actually had his faction in AEW before he became full-time announcer, he brought the belt back and gave it to Ricky Starks.
I get that, but what's the point of that belt?
Again, I'm just telling you that's the point.
No, I know. I'm not saying you're saying, but like, why have that belt? It's not needed.
Well, there's a lot of things that are not needed, man. But I mean,
it's like, why do you have this? Is bad as boxing with all these belts. Like, you don't need that many belts. You need a heavyweight, intercontinental, tag belts, and maybe in the women's belts. You don't need all these crazy other belts. It's just the waters are down. Doesn't make it special.
Not going to disagree with you at all. Anyways, this is basically a title that's fought with no rules, so anything goes. These guys go back and forth. Hook looks great. Jericho. Does Jericho low blow baseball bat Judas effects, and then he wins the title? It doesn't make sense to put this thing on Jericho. I mean, Jericho just looks out of all the old guys that are in that company. I believe he needs to either really hit the gym hard, do something with him physically, or walk away.
If you had a boss like Vince McMahon, he wouldn't allow him to be in the ring looking like that and wrestling. That's like that. He's slow. Okay. He can't move. He did once in a while do the okay, the lion salt, whatever he calls it.
Look, but you know what?
You know, he's in his early 50s. It's time that he needs to get out of the ring.
He had a couple spots there that I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty sick considering his age and everything. Sometimes, like, you know. But for the most part, I'm looking at him and while I'm watching this match, I'm thinking back to, you know, when he first came out in 1999 on WWE TV and his speed and everything. I mean, you know, he's half the man he used to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, but Tony Khan's going to parade him out there. I like the famous story, Vince McMahon called the Ring Flair 58. You're retiring. I don't want to retire, Vince. No, you're retiring. This is it. Like, you need that authoritative figure to say, hey, this is enough.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I don't think Jericho's there anymore as that main character. Like, in the beginning, I could see his role in AEW.
Not anymore.
Not at that level anymore, right? All right. After that, we get to Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship. You know what? Easy match. Fun to watch. I have nothing against either lady. I actually really enjoy what Toni Storm is doing, that character. Mm-hmm. And she's not holding back either, man. In the post-press conference, she took shots at the Bloodline. She took shots at the Garcia twins, aka the Bella twins, who want to come there now. And, you know, just, you know, just, yeah, man, she's on fire. I like her. I like her character. It's kind of cheesy, corny, but that's what she wants you to see.
Well, so, at least she's got some sort of character. Most of the guys in AEW don't have a character.
Well, it's kind of interesting, though. Even in that match, they were cut to black and white. When she, you know what I mean? Like, just to kind of keep her character going. I really like that. That was a good thing. The other thing I will say about the whole show overall, they still need to work on production, man. They use that boom cam way too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, the guys on the ground, they need to shoot better between the ropes. Like, I don't know, man. This is just from an editing from a production, you know, like, if I'm editing this whole thing together, you know, my mind just kind of starts looking at where they're coming from, what angles are coming from, you know. So it's just kind of like,
it's time to call up Kevin Dunn and give him a job. Pay him what he wants.
You know, I was thinking the same thing while I was watching it, and especially during the Malakai match, I noticed it a lot. Like, they kept going to the boom cam, too much boom cam, in my opinion. It's good to have that, but you need to have confidence in your guys on the ground to get those, you know.
It's time to bring the master production. I'm Tony Khan. Call up Kevin Dunn. What do you want? We'll pay a little bit more than Vince paid you. Get over here. And why not?
I don't see why not, man. Tony, he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's basically that match. Will Ospreay, Daniel Bryanson. This is where I think the best matches of the pay-per-view were. Everything else was okay up until this point. We didn't need...
Yeah, this is the best match tonight for sure.
You know, we didn't need 2.5-3 hours of what we saw before to get to these three. I mean, we did, but we didn't. You know what I mean? Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson. Solid match, man.
Yeah, it was great.
Really, really good. And the one thing I took away from this match while watching it, if you look at Will Ospreay, like, yeah, He's not the biggest man. Like, he's not huge or anything, but he's thick. He's got size. He's about 6'2", you know, 6'2", you know, about 240, 250, but to maneuver the way he does. I mean, if you think about it, Rey Mysterio, the little guys were, you know, the Eddie Guerreros of the world were the only ones who were able to ever move and fly like that. But to see this guy do the stuff that he does is just
insane. I don't think anybody can move like he can in the ring.
Yeah.
As far as athleticism goes.
Oh, like he's phenomenal.
He doesn't really have a character. His look isn't bad. Like you said, he's in decent shape. Like, he needs a character and a little bit of mic skills. But as far as his in-ring goes, he can do stuff that I don't think anybody can do right now.
Well, like I said, I mean, if everything...
He does it so effortlessly, too, the way he does it.
And that's it, right? But you also have to have the right dance partners. Like, when he works with Kenny Omega, like, if you go back and watch that Kenny Omega match with him at their pay-per-view in England last summer, I mean, that was a phenomenal match. That was probably the best match of the night. So this guy has kick-ass matches after kick-ass matches.
They're saying, oh, Dave Meltzer saying this is the greatest match in U.S. history. It's not true. This might win so far, maybe match of the year. I don't think it is. But it's going to be in the top five matches of the year when it's all said and done.
Yeah, 100%. But
there's no story behind it.
No.
There's no psychology. It's just a bunch of guys just doing moves, which is fine. But there's nothing, there's no meaning behind it. There's no, not invested in it because there's no story.
Well, if there was a story behind it, the story would be that, you know, claiming to be the best in the best wrestler, right? This has been Daniel's MO since he's come there. I'm the best wrestler. He wants to fight guys to prove that he's the best wrestler.
Yeah.
When he went with, you know, that whole thing he did with New Japan, with Tanahashi, Okada, and a couple other guys I can't remember right now. Like, you know, all those matches were, Zack Sabre Jr. These were all to be proven the best wrestler, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's another example of it. But Daniel did the right thing tonight, and he put over Will because he is the up-and-coming guy.
Yeah, he's way younger.
The angle that they put out there was that he really hurt him really bad. And, I mean, if he was legit hurt, they wouldn't have a camera on him, even during the, you know, picture-in-picture stuff that they were doing. Mm. But what I like what they're doing with Will, because he is still a part of the Don Callis family, which is the most hated faction in AEW of bad guys. Yeah. So he's kind of at a crossroads. Is he going to carry on with this, or is he going to build off the guilt he was showing for hurting him? You know what I mean?
No. If I'm Tony Khan, you carry on with the Don Callis stuff, especially when he attacked Triple H, and he doubled down and said, I stand by my comments, which is good. Most indie guys don't have a backbone. They get scared. And he said, no, I stand by what I said about him. So he's kind of already got that bad boy image going on. So he needs to run with it, stay with Don Callis, keep him as a heel for a while, and play off of that.
Yeah, no, I could potentially see that as well. I could also see it going the other way. I think people are dying to cheer for this guy. That's the funny part. People want to cheer for him.
Make him wait. You got to build anticipation.
Yeah, 100%. So let's see where they go with the storyline. I mean, it just kind of...
Best match tonight by far. No other match touched this match.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only other match is the one that I'm going to touch on now with you is probably for the tag team titles. That could have given it a run for its money. I mean, these guys worked really, really well. Some of those spots were just insane with the ladders. I'm talking FTR versus the Young Bucks for the vacated AEW tag team titles left to be claimed by Darby Allin and the retiring Sting. So we basically get this match. And you know what? These guys have already gone a few times, so their chemistry is there. Throw in some ladders, and you're going to get some fun. Now, some of these shots that these guys took, like there was this one spot where Chase was laying on the ladder, which was resting on a table. These things aren't forgiving. So when you're getting squished and you're getting splashed, you're feeling that someone has to absorb that impact, right?
Yep.
So these guys took some serious, serious bumps to sell this program.
It was a good match, yeah.
It was a solid match, right? I mean, I cringed a couple times. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details. There were a lot of high spots or a lot of low spots. But the main spot came at the end where it looked like Dax was about to take the titles off the belt. And all of a sudden, a guy comes in with the hood and pushes the ladder over, which allows the Young Bucks to win. Who is this guy? Who is he? Tony Schiavone style. Turns out to be Mr. Jack Perry. So they're taking this whole CM Punk thing and turning it into a storyline to their advantage, which they're doing. So good on Jack Perry. It helps build his heel couch character. Looks like he's a part of the Elite now. So they're building up their little gang here again, man. So interesting.
You keep on CM Punk stuff. keep on the Triple H stuff with these guys and build some sort of heat, some sort of momentum, something. They need to do something. It was a good match overall. I've never been a big fan of the Young Bucks. Yeah, they can flip and fly. They can't talk on the mic. Don't really care for their look. But in between the ropes, they can go.
Oh, can they ever?
But it's just like, they have, even there's a lot of these guys that can go in the ring, but there's no story. There's no, you're not invested in anything because there's no story. It's throwing matches together. Sure, they flip and fly with the best of them, but we're not invested in it. That's why people tune out.
Well, here's the thing, man. I'll be honest. Like when AEW first came out, I watched and watched and watched because it was new, right? And then once it started to fade, I faded with it, to be completely honest. I think in the last 2 or 3 months, thanks to you, in large part, I'll call it the way it is, man. You know, bringing AEW to our attention and to ensure that we watch it. So this show was easier to digest than the first one that I had to watch because yeah. I knew a bit more of what's going on. And, you know, off this, I'm going to continue because AEW crowned their first world heavyweight black champion, man, in Swerve Strickland. Good on him. Good match. I thought it was okay. Nothing not spectacular. Bad. It was just a couple big men doing power moves. Nothing really serious from the outside. No real cheating. Nothing. Pretty clean. Honestly.
Yeah, and I agree. I just want to give the belt to Swerve. You know, Samoa Joe's older. He doesn't need it anymore. He had it for a bit. They gave him like a thank you run. I like Samoa Joe, but let's be honest. I don't think he's a heavyweight champion material. He's big enough, but he can't really talk that well. Doesn't have a great look. So give it to Swerve. You know, he's younger. He's a lot more hotter right now.
Yeah,
it wasn't. If you compare that to the tag match and the Will Ospreay match, how do those guys follow that? They couldn't. And it was a little bit lackluster.
Yeah, I mean.
And I understand it has to be the main event because it's for the title, but Will Ospreay and Daniel Bryan were the main event.
They were the main event. And a lot of, you know what, though? I think you and I can both agree on this. A lot of times when we watch wrestling, a lot of the things that are main event aren't actually the main event. You know what I mean? It's just the way it goes. I mean, I can't use this WrestleMania as an example because that main event was legitimately the main event. But you know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean. Sometimes the main event is against the undercards.
Right? Like, okay, for example, if I were to WrestleMania 39, I would have thought, in my opinion, the main event of 39 was Charlotte Rhea, night one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just it's that quality of match and everything else. But overall, like I said, I had no problem with the show. I'll give it a 6. To be fair, because it dragged, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too long.
And it didn't help that the crowd wasn't in it all the time. That's the one thing about AEW that they always have.
Well, because there's no stories. You're not invested in it.
No, but regardless of that, man, what I mean is AEW is that one show that you can always count on. Even if the stuff is shit, the crowd's always in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got those kind of fans.
The hardcore IWC fans.
The 5,000 to 9,000 fans that were in that crowd. And I only throw that out there because Ross.
Yeah, they're in St. Louis, Missouri.
Right? You know, the 5,000 to 9,000 fans that were in there. Upper Bowl wasn't even open. It was just amphitheater, lower bowl.
Yeah.
And half of that was cut because of this stage and everything. So I think they had a total of there close to maybe 7,000 to 8,000, maybe 9,000 people in there. Those 9,000 people are usually really, really loud.
Well, when you're sitting there for, 6 hours and watching all that, it's like you get worn out.
Not the first time those fans have had to endure that, though.
Man. Too long.
Yeah.
Come on, Tony, get down to 3 hours. Your big show of the year, whatever your WrestleMania is, go 4 hours. Everything else, 3 hours under. Trim out some of the fat and make your show a little more compact and a little more high action. Too long.
They need to cut the matches down. There's nothing else to cut. They don't have any backstage segments. They don't have anything like that going on. So it's all really in the ring, right? I mean, if you think about it, from match to match, they literally end the match and they go to the video package and the next match starts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was evident. Like, you would think, okay, they're going to be a while here with Daniel Bryan in the ring. But no, it was fine. I mean, he must have gotten out, left, and they started the next match right away. They got to cut some of those matches down. They got
to... Too long. Not every match will be 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's way too long, right? Like, yeah. Some matches deserve 20 minutes, some matches deserve 10.
Yep, exactly.
Right? You know, and then kind of work in that time frame. So, overall, yeah, I would say about 6, 6.5, mm-hmm. You know. Time constraints, production are my negative points, if I have any, right? I have nothing against the matches. The matches were fine. They were what they were. They delivered what they were supposed to deliver. Yeah. Ospreay and Bryan over-delivered. Other than that,
yeah,
Yeah,
it was definitely going to go. Definitely by the end of the year, you're going to hear that is it's going to be a lot of people's match of the year so far.
Well, let's see, man. We're only in April, so I mean, we're coming to an end of April, so 4 months in. I mean, it's not bad to have that as an option.
Yeah.
To see what the rest of the summer provides, man. All right, let's move over to New York, where the releases have started. And it's not happening like it used to in the past, where you just get 20 names in one shot. They're kind of dropping them periodically. So here are the names that have been released. Jinder Mahal, Zi Lee, Dion Quinn, Veer Mon Sangha, Von Wagner, and today, Tuesday, Cameron Grimes are all have been released from the WWE. I'm not shocked by any of them.
I'm just, well, the other ones I don't disagree with Ari letting them go. I'm just a little bit surprised to let Jinder go because you just put him on Raw was a month ago for a title match and you're dropping him.
Okay, so I looked into it a little bit and I tried to understand how they're doing the releases, right? In the past, they would always say the releases are for budgetary constraints, this and that. I never believed that because how can a company that has no budget?
Well, it's Vince's nice way of saying you suck away.
Right, yeah. right. But this is what they're doing now. So Jinder, Veer, Sangha, they weren't being used.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So why is Triple H putting him on whoever booked that match, Bruce Pritchard, whoever? Why put him on a title match and just drop him right away like that?
Well, I think they were trying to ignite him, right? That was the thing. They tried to give it a fuse and see if they could get something going. I mean, at the end of the day, like we've always talked about, and I've always mentioned it anyways, there are so many markets that this company is catering to, you know? So, I mean, my only surprise is
that's why I would have kept Jinder just for that. And he's in a good build.
Right. But what I would like to have seen them do then, if you have a Jinder, a Sangha, and a Veer, okay? Like, I'm only sharing this with you because I get that channel from India on my Fire Stick that allows me to see the channel that carries WWE in India, which is Sony Sports. They have their own programs. They have so many of their own things that we don't even see here, right? And it's kind of funny to see a couple of Hindi guys speaking Hindi and talking about wrestling and, you know, doing their things.
Yeah.
If they needed those three guys to push the market over there, they should be more involved in the marketing, more involved in the programming. I mean, we live in a time and age where you don't have to live there per se. You can do all this, you know, like a WWE version of the Indian bump, for example. Yeah. Aren't these guys running stuff like that? So obviously they're not translating across the sea either, if that's the case, right? So that makes sense.
Or they could have rubbed somebody backstage wrong. But I don't blame them on the Veer Mahan, the other guy getting rid of them, and Cameron Grimes. Okay, fine. But yeah. Jinder's big, strong.
I get that.
Shape. I would have kept them myself.
Well, same with Zion Quinn and Von Wagner. Von Wagner is the son of one of the Beverly brothers. Do you remember those guys?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So those two guys were potentially already considered main card guys that were just hanging out in NXT. So if you have
if I'm Tony Khan, the only guy I grab out of there
is Jinder.
Jinder, bring him. I leave the other guys.
See, I already thought about that. Here's a great storyline already built in. Jinder shows up there this summer and starts a feud with Tony Khan, you know, about all the crap that he said about him leading up to that in January. It's a built-in storyline, man. I mean,
he needs big guys that are muscular like Jinder is. So get him, bring him on. And like you said, Tony versus Jinder, they can start talking, start smacking. Tony needs to step up his game up here. He's got a lot of stuff to play with. Let's see if he does it properly.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right, I tell you what, brother man, we have Backlash this May coming up. So I'm not going to really talk about Raw. Raw was okay. It wasn't nothing spectacular. If there were any takeaways from this, that I will say two things. The one thing I think will happen, and tell me if you agree or disagree, I got my Booker cap on and my writer's hat on when I saw this last night. So Gable comes out. Chad Gable comes out and basically says that I'm tired of trading losers. I'm tired of losing all the time, blah, blah, blah. Calls out the whole Alpha Academy, says you guys are going to do whatever it takes to make me great because I'm tired of making everyone else look great. And Otis obliges and the girl, Maxine obliges and Takawa, he obliges. But here's what I think is going to happen, man. I have a feeling he and the Creed brothers are going to form a faction.
Yeah, it'd be good. Three good athletes. Right?
So I see that potentially as a heel turn coming up. That's the main thing that I took away from Raw. The main event of the night was to determine the new women's champion. Basically, it came down between Nia, Liv, and Becky. And, you know, Little Miss Smith asked me, who do you think is going to win? And I said to her, I think the best thing to do is have Nia win.
That's what I thought.
This is the way I kind of pictured it. Okay, Nia wins. This allows her and Liv to feud it out. Have Liv finally win it after getting her ass kicked over and over and over again, week after week. You know what I mean? To finally pull it out of the hat, only to have Rhea come back that same time.
Very cool. Now, I'm kind of tired of the whole Becky, I'm the man, and all that stuff. But I think it's kind of tired and washed out. I would have gave it to Nia or Liv. Something different. We're being in a new era. We're going back to the old stuff.
A lot of people were complaining about that online, about Becky winning it again. In fact, I saw this one picture of her with a Hulk Hogan mustache.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's not her fault. I mean, they say you get it, you get it. But it's like, let's do something different now. This is not a new era. We're giving it back to Becky.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, really, outside of that, most of those girls have all been there at the same time. And if you're talking about new era girls, then you give it to Ivy or you give it to one of the younger girls that are up and coming in there, right? Like, in, you know, the first five girls that got eliminated, that's the future.
There is no new era. It's just the way of distancing themselves from Vince. That's all it is.
Of course there is, man. That's just the way it is. That's business. Yeah. That's marketing.
Yeah, I get you it.
Know, and that's just what they have to do, I guess. Speaking of Vince, I read an interesting article that he will be completely free of any chains or anything by the end of this year, if not earlier, which lead people to think that this dude might actually start his own company again.
No, because he's got such ego, such a pride. He built the greatest wrestling company ever. He made the best business decision ever, combining with TKO. Everything you see, he created every pay-per-view name you see, networks, Netflix, did it all. Why would he want to go and damage what he built?
He's
going to do something, but it won't be wrestling.
It'd be interesting to see if he does, just to prove to everyone that it doesn't matter. You can take everything, strip me, and I still can build the greatest company in the world.
Well, people say he's too old. His mom lived to 105. So, and the guy's 78, but the body of a 45-year-old man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Still sharp. This dude could probably do something in the next 5 years and still live another 20 years to enjoy it if he wanted to.
And people are saying, people work for him. He's just going to pay them what they want. Get anybody he wants. Now, people are saying that since Jeff Jarrett started this global floor, think of this. Jeff Jarrett starting a new company. What is he calling it?
Global Force.
But entertainment, not wrestling. What does Vince always say?
Entertainment.
And they're saying that he loves Vinny, and why not call up Vinny and say, hey, I'll dump $2 billion in this baby. Why not?
Dude, I'm telling you, if this is the reality of wrestling. If anyone's going to make a number two show and actually legitimately compete against the WWE, it has to be Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
No one else. Right. So, like I said, this last year and a half, 2 years, there are nothing left to be surprised by, in my opinion.
True.
Right. We've seen it all now. Now everything's out in the open. I mean, in hockey, the greatest surprise ever was seeing Wayne Gretzky get traded from the Oilers to the Kings. No one ever saw that happening.
Yeah.
But after that, that opened the door to everything. Now nothing surprises anybody in hockey, right? I mean, the only true loyal guy left in hockey, in my opinion, is your guy, McDavid.
Who? For now, but he still might want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but eventually, what's Edmonton getting? The best of McDavid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, after that, he's Okada going somewhere else.
Pretty much.
Right? So...
Vinny could. I just don't see him. But he's not. I'm telling you right now, he's going to make some sort of business. I don't know what it's going to be, but he's not going away.
I have a feeling. Like, I could be completely wrong. Maybe it's just my heart wants to see it. But I mean, it just kind of be fun to see McMahon it.
If he does that, I'd be behind him 110%. That'd be my favorite company to watch because I love the way he does things. But you never know with him. They're taking shots at him a little bit, pot shots at him. He doesn't like that.
Well, like I said, when he comes back, I mean, everyone's going to be no, right? Like, I mean, that's just reality of McMahon. He's an old school guy. He treats the business old school. This is why a lot of this young talent doesn't know how to deal with him, and their feelings get hurt really easy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the reality of the society in whole. Like, it's not just because you're a pro wrestler or you're a boxer or you're in any kind of combat sport, you're still not basically safe from what society dictates and how you act as an individual. Yep. Right? We're just lucky that we came from an ass-kicking society where we did something wrong. Our dads beat the shit out of us.
Yeah, it's totally different now.
Right? And if we messed up at Buddy's house, then Buddy's dad beat the shit out of us and gave my dad a call and said, hey, he fucked up. I had to kick his ass. Okay. You know what I mean? That's just
yeah, you're right.
That's where we grew up with. We were scared of our families. We were scared of our parents, right? Example, you know, now, oh, I don't feel good. I can't do the work. You know what the answer was for us? Here's the belt. Go do the work.
Yep.
Whereas today, now we have to send him to a counselor. You have to go through the whole process. You got to do this, do that. Kid's not stupid. He knows he's milking everything.
Hell yeah. 100%.
Right?
We're lucky.
We're so lucky. Like, not for the ass kickings, but it's those ass kickings that made us strong.
Absolutely, dude. 100% agree with you.
And that being said, that translates into combat athletes. You think, oh, these guys are tougher than life. Yeah, they're tough in the ring, but outside the ring, they're just as soft as their counterparts.
100%.
Right?
Totally agree.
The toughest UFC guys in the world were Don Fry, right up to Chuck Liddell, and I'll even throw Tito in there, but he's the stupidest of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But those were real tough men. Right?
Yeah, the Beast, all those guys. Yeah.
You look at wrestling, everyone up until maybe 1994, maybe 95, were tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
After that, they all started becoming soft and softer and softer.
A little more of the Shawn Michaels influence kind of guys started coming around. Yeah.
Right. And even in boxing, even. Yeah, you got some real tough guys, and you got to be a tough man. You got to be a tough girl to get into that ring and compete at any level, but you're still soft as people.
100%.
Right? So that's the world we live in. So if McMahon comes back with the company, you'd see guys like Undertaker and other guys come and join him.
Oh, yeah. He can get a crew, no problem.
And that's why McMahon wasn't working anymore, because these guys would cry. Vince said this. Yeah, he's going to say that. He said that 20 years ago. And you know what that guy did? He pulled up his boots, he tightened his drawstrings, and he went out there and he made it happen. Do you think Goldust wanted to be Goldust? No.
No,
but he did it because he knew
or
he
had Stardust to
be, or Stardust, right? You know, but they did it because they knew it had to be done.
Yeah, then no right? choice. Where are you going?
Cody is a saving grace. He's still a tough guy, in my opinion, because he came from that tough generation.
Yeah, it came from his dad and stuff like that. Right? Yeah,
right. Like, you know, they say that the morale in the WWE is good because no one's scared. Why should anyone ever be scared? McMahon's only telling you what he needed to be done. That's it.
Yeah, to better you and better the company.
100%. All right, brother, man. Yeah, hopefully we don't get canceled. right? I mean, I think that's enough to get anyone canceled now, saying society soft, right?
Borderline.
All right, well, society is soft. Cancel us. All right. On that note, brother, man.
Zuckerberg would cancel us. Elon Musk would clap for us for voicing their opinion.
There you go, brother, man. And we're not even saying anything wrong. Here's the thing. A lot of people who talk this kind of stuff don't have anything to back anything up with. They just say it and walk away.
Mm.
Right? At least we back it up and we're saying it in a polite, respectful way.
True.
We're not calling people names. We're not saying anything bad. We're basically calling it as it is. And I think that's what's missing in this world. People do not call it anymore the way it is. They're too afraid of the backlash.
Absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, I'm not afraid. You're not afraid.
I'm not afraid, no.
Right? And we're, as long as we do it the right way, no one can ever say anything to us.
Yeah, he said it perfectly. And I totally agree with you.
Awesome, brother. All right. On that note, let's wrap this up and call it a day. A heck of a day, my friend. A heck of a day if people knew the stories. here we are, man. We're Tuesday. The wrestling show's done. We got AEW Fallout tomorrow.
The first show we've ever done. We talk more AEW than WWE.
No, and you know what? And that's fine. And we should be able to, right? I mean, there's a lot of wrestling out there. There's a lot of people who like it. So to our AEW friends out there, we apologize if we said anything, you know, you might find hurtful or disrespectful that was not necessary or
intentional. Criticize both. We give them both praise, criticize both companies.
100%. Yeah, and I'm more of the homer of the two of us, obviously. I mean, you know, it's but even I know what's what. I think what works best for us, man, is that we try to do the yin and yang. I try to show one side of it, you show the other side.
Yeah, it's good balance, right?
And we always find the balance in the middle where we have our meals together. So everything is beautiful.
Yeah, we both said the same stuff. That'd be boring.
Exactly. All right, man. On that note, I'm Bobby Sampson. He is Mr. Chance Michaels.
And in the words of the great AC/DC, those that download, like, and subscribe to the cast, salute you.
We do salute you, guys. Please be safe. The week is halfway through, I guess, for some of us, for all of us. Just play safe. Enjoy it. Have fun. Do your thing. And enjoy the rest of your week. And remember, if people hate you, it's because they hate themselves. Samp and Chance out.